one of the classic stories of Scripture relating to the birth of our Lord during this Christmas season. And I want to direct our attention to the story of the Magi. Now, I call them the Magi. We're probably most familiar with them being referred to as the wise men. And I just pray that the Lord could just minister to us this morning from this wonderful story. So let's pray together. Lord, we just look to you and this season, our life, God, is all about you. And Lord, during this Christmas time, Lord, we want to look to you. We want to learn even more about you, and we want to bring you glory in the earth, God. And you have placed us here. You have put your Spirit inside of us, God. Lord, you've given us a voice and a message, God. And I just pray, Lord, that your word that brings life, it sets us free. And I just pray that that would happen this morning, Lord, as we look to you and listen to what the Spirit says to the church. I just pray that this morning. Pray for your empowerment, for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we want to talk about the Magi mission. The Magi mission. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And let's just read the story together. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go, search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' So when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their country another way." Well, this is such a beautiful and classic story of these men, and that traveled from afar to find this child that was born the king of the Jews, and they followed this star. Just then, when I said afar, I wanted to say some crazy fireman jokes, but I can't think of them right now. I know that there's some. Somebody's got one. One of the kids. What's an afar joke? Oh, man. Okay, never mind. So these guys came from afar, and they're looking to this star, and it's leading them, and it leads them right to Jesus. Now, I'm coming this morning, and I'm coming to you, and I want to talk to you about this story, and I think God wants to speak to us about this story. Many of you have heard many messages and many things about this story, and it's wonderful. And so I've come here with certainly great information that many of you certainly have already heard, and some probably maybe not have heard. But I've definitely come here this morning to mess this nativity scene up. I'm coming to mess it up. This wonderful nativity scene that we so thoroughly love and is very iconic and good, and of all of our Christmas decorations, guess what? This is the most important one. And I love the wise men, but they're probably not supposed to actually be like right here. They're probably supposed to be like way over here. So Jesus is born, and when Jesus was born, these guys started traveling. And they started traveling, and when they got to Jesus, he was actually a young child. Some of y'all have heard this before, I'm sure. And so it's interesting when we look at this story, just some of the different things that are probably inconsistent between tradition and the biblical account. It talks about their wise men from the east, and we kind of think of it that there was three of them. The Bible really doesn't say how many there were. Isn't that interesting? It just says wise men. There could have been two. Probably not. There was probably a lot of them. But they came and they brought these three gifts. And so what the important thing is that we can see from this story is that they were men, and they were men that God was leading, and God was leading them to fulfill a great purpose. See, they were like these really highly educated guys. They were from, no one knows exactly where they were from, but somewhere in the east, so probably modern day Iraq, modern day Iran. They had a long ways to go, and we see from the account that Herod wants to kill all the kids two and under. So Jesus was probably as old as 2 years old by the time they got to him. But God was sending them on a specific mission. One, to fulfill prophecy, wasn't he? He was sending them to fulfill certain prophecies about Jesus. And two, he was sending them to confirm. And now we have this great confirmation that Jesus Christ was King of the Jews and was the Messiah and the Christ. And so they come and they bring this great confirmation. And so I want us this morning, even as we're looking at their mission and looking at what they were doing, I believe that God wants to speak to us about their mission. And in the first few verses 1-3, we see this announcement of sorts. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it said that wise men came from the east and that they had seen this star. I want you to go two slides up, Patrick, to the star. So they see this star that's leading them. And this star was something that God placed in the heavens, and he placed it as a proclamation. These guys were studious men, so they were studying the stars, so they understood the prophecy. They understood what it meant, and so they followed it. But it was a star and a proclamation for the world to see. It was something that was done not enclosed, but it was something that was done very much in public, very much outwardly, very much for the world to see. For the world to see. It's really interesting. Some of the things that they've actually been able to do now with the modern technology, some of the people are actually able to trace the roots of the stars, and they have fancy computer programs that I'm not 100% how that they work, but they can actually go back and they can see what they believe they found this star. And so it stands as a testimony and as a witness to Jesus Christ, and a testimony and a witness to his divinity. And so when we see that this star is a proclamation, we can see that it's a proclamation of Christ. The first thing I want us to see about this story, you can go back one slide now, is that God's plan, even in during this season of Christmas, God's plan is still the proclamation of Jesus Christ. God's plan is the proclamation of Jesus Christ to the world. You know, there is a lot of division even today from outside and from inside about Christmas. One, certainly there's a few things that we need to see, and I'm trying to put my thoughts in a concise way, that the Christmas that we have now is not the original. We've certainly this secular aspect of it now, right? Nevertheless, Christmas Day, the day that bears the name of Christ, is a day that we celebrate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's what the day is all about. It's not about Santa and Rudolph, I'm sorry. It is about Jesus. And that name, Christmas, continues to go out. It continues to go out to the saved, to the unsaved, to the world, that Jesus Christ came to this earth. It stands as a witness, guys. This day, I know we're battling a lot of junk out there, and there's people that celebrate Christmas that aren't even Christians. I understand that. But nevertheless, we have an opportunity now as Christians, and God has afforded us this great opportunity through this day to proclaim the truth. To proclaim the truth about Jesus. So God's plan is the proclamation of Christ, and through Christmas we can do that. So we understand that God's faithful to show us Christ, so what should our action be? Well, when we go to the next few verses of our story, we see what happened next. So the wise men, they get to Herod. It's interesting that they say, they begin to ask other people. They ask everyone. They said, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And it said, when he heard this, he was troubled. And it says, all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. These guys really stirred the city up. Some people believe it's because everybody knew who these magi were, that the whole city was like, oh, whoa, these guys are here. what's going on. And it says, then he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he inquired them. And then it says, they told him. It says, for it's written by the prophet, it says, they said it was in Bethlehem of Judea. And so then Herod goes to these wise men, and he says, it's in Bethlehem. I want us to see something that I found really interesting. This proclamation's happened. These prophecies are being fulfilled. These wise men going to the king. They're going into the temple. And all of these guys that are supposed to be like the elite pastors and mainline denominational leaders. Are right there, and they've got all the scriptures in front of them, and not one of them wants to go and see this baby with the wise men. God is speaking something to me. He was saying, you can go to the next slide. There's an advancement that needs to happen. Jesus does not force people to seek him and to seek an encounter with him. You know, these men knew the prophecies about Jesus. These men were supposed to have this understanding, and they were trained. Chief priests, scribes. Scribes were people that wrote the scriptures over and over and over again. And they were trained in these scriptures. And you would think that these men that knew the word would be the hungriest men for God. But what we see is the opposite. You can go to the next slide. I kind of grabbed the angriest looking scribes I could get. But you don't see that. You don't see this. We want to go with you. You don't see this. We've been waiting for this Christ. You see these wise men leaving and going. See, Jesus doesn't force people to have an encounter with him. You know, this Christmas time and this time that we can all celebrate Christmas together, it's going to be a wonderful time. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of festivities and things. We've already started having wonderful parties, and it's wonderful to celebrate Jesus. But guys, every day and during this Christmas time, let's lead people to encounter Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's lead people to have a meeting with Jesus Christ during this Christmas season. Not just talking about Jesus, but let's be those that would say, Jesus is not just a guy that was born in a manger. He is, and more, he's the Son of God, he's the Savior of the world, and he's still alive right now. Right now. And he wants to interact with you. And we need to be stirred up also. That we're not just taking up space, but that we have a hunger for God. That we have a hunger to meet with God. That we have a hunger to interact with God. And experience God and seek God, not just know about God and know these wonderful stories. And so it's clear that we can see that not everybody who knows about God or who knows the Christmas story celebrates Christ or seeks Christ, which is true, and it's clear that we see that, especially with the secular world and their celebration of Christmas. But this can be true in the church. And Revelation talks about that. We won't turn there. But Jesus is speaking to the church, and he said, I know your good works, but you've left your first love. You're doing these things, and you're not even seeking me and spending time with me. So once we set our heart to be like the wise men and seek him and seek a real encounter with him and not just be a scribe, what should we do that we're seeking his presence? Well, in the next verses, we see what they do. Jesus had been announced. There was an announcement. Then the wise men advanced. There was an advancement. But now we see what happens. So it says, in verse 9, it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Anna, could you go ahead and come up, if you would, and start playing? There's a proper response to a real God, guys. A proper response to a real Jesus. And that's adoration and worship. You can go to the next slide. A real meeting with Jesus this Christmas should move us to real, authentic worship. See, the Magi's mission, was not complete just on finding Jesus. The Magi mission was to worship him and give him their offerings. See, our desire this Christmas must match the Magi's. We must desire not to only know about Jesus, but to find him and worship him. See, the thing about Christ is he's alive. See, even when we talk about Christmas and wonderful celebration of Christmas, it's great to celebrate, but we need to be leading our families in encountering the living God. We see you. Something I was just feeling in my spirit, you can celebrate somebody who's dead, can't you? I could celebrate George Washington if I wanted to. But with Jesus, we must be encountering him in a real way. In a real way, and in a very practical way. There's very authentic ways. And there are ways that would honor him and glorify him, but would also invite his presence into our times of celebration about Christmas. Christmas is about him. It's all about him. It's all about bringing him glory and encountering him in a real way. See, I thought this, what was really good about the gifts that they brought him, they brought gifts that had meaning. They brought gold, they brought frankincense, they brought myrrh. I actually have a picture of these three here. And they have meaning. The gold was something that was meant for a king. The frankincense was something that was meant for a priest, the high priest. And the myrrh has to do with preparing a body to be buried. And it points to the fact that Jesus was to be Savior. And so we should ask ourselves, are we glorifying Jesus during Christmas in these ways? Is he our king? Is he our king? If he is your king, then he has full authority over your life. He has full authority over you, and you have a desire for that authority. You have a desire for the government of God. The government of God. We should ask ourselves, are we celebrating and giving him glory as our high priest? He is our high priest. Hallelujah. He's in Hebrews, it says that through him, through the blood of a perfect sacrifice, that we have access through him as a mediator of the new covenant. Praise God. There was an old covenant that was a flawed covenant. Praise God, we have a new one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that mediator is Christ. And we have access to God. They didn't have access to God like we have access. They had a high priest. Now we have a high priest that maintains our connection forever and ever. And so we need to be glorifying him this Christmas as king, as high priest. Are we glorifying him as our Savior? As our Savior. Is he your Savior this morning? When he's your Savior, you can say with David, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sins. All because of the reality of this birth, of this time that we're celebrating, and because of the reality of the death and the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have salvation. That we have salvation. It's all about Jesus. And so I just want to ask if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to open up the altars and we'll have someone pray with you. If you do not know and you have not trusted in Christ and you have not turned from your sins to him, you know that you are not right with God. This is a time that God is allowing. This is a time of mercy. If there's anyone who has not repented of their sins and fully trusted Jesus Christ as their sole Savior for salvation, I would invite you to come forward now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's good. Well, praise God. We are wanting to honor. This is the wise men, and they're worshiping Jesus. Guys, I think that we can turn our Christmas celebrations this year into times of worship for our King. I really think that we can. I really think that we should. I was looking over this and just reading and studying and praying, and I begin to be thoroughly convicted and asking myself, you know what? I've had some wonderful Christmas celebrations, but have I genuinely put Jesus first? I mean, have they really been great to celebrate and give gifts to each other? That's awesome. It's great. But is Jesus the priority? Is he the one? If someone came into my celebration, another guest, would they leave saying, man, that was really about Jesus? That was really, those people were talking about Jesus and talking to Jesus. Would my celebration just leave a mark? I think that if we want to have these magi, these wise men, leave a mark on us, don't they? When we read their story, if we want to take the magi mission, let's leave a mark on this culture, amen? As we celebrate Christ during Christmas times, we have a call. A call to move, and we have two possible outcomes during this Christmas season. One possible outcome, we could just totally celebrate Christmas the way everybody else does, and just, you know, and put out the milk and cookies for Santa or whatever, I don't know, whatever y'all do, and have a genuinely meaningless celebration. Or we could turn our celebrations into times of worship. We could make our Christmas about celebrating and encountering the living King, Jesus. He said, where is this King? Hallelujah! Where is this King of the Jews? Where is this King of glory? Hallelujah! That's who we're celebrating. The King of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He deserves everything. He deserves everything. We should begin praying about our celebrations that they would glorify God. We want to take the Magi mission. We realize that Christmas time is an announcement, guys. There's a secular side of it. I'm fully understanding of that. I'm not denying that. But we don't need to be scared away by the secular side. We need to press in with the reality that this day that bears the name of Christ is about Christ. And so it is a way that Jesus is announced to the world. We need to use this time wisely. So we need to then, the announcements there, we want to advance. Even when others might not, we need to press forward and actively seek our King this Christmas time. And we want to adore Him. We want to bring adoration. We want to seek His presence this Christmas season through worshiping Him in practical ways. Guys, some practical ways to worship. We should worship Jesus on Christmas morning by singing songs to Him. Hey, if no one can sing, there's YouTube. There's YouTube. We can sing with YouTube. We should take times of corporate prayer on Christmas and talk to Jesus. We need to thank Him for coming to this earth and ask Him to make His presence known and evident during our time of celebration. Another good way is to have a family devotion at Christmas. Read the story of Luke 2 with your family, and then allow God's Spirit to lead your family in dialogue about it. You can just read the story, but you can read the story and then, hey, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what the Lord was speaking. This is something that's distinctly Christian about Christmas, was the Christmas carol. You can bundle up and go caroling. This is an excellent way to witness also to your neighbors and to others. And just ask God's Spirit to enable you. Ask Him to enable your witnessing. Ask Him to enable your singing. Amen? We need some divine enablement there. You can go to the hospitals, the homeless shelters. We can do practical things. This one story I read was powerful. This kid on Christmas Eve before his mom was praying for him, and he turned over and he looked to his mother and he said, Mom, he said, these gifts are great, but what would Jesus want if it's really His birthday, if it's really a celebration about Jesus? You can buy gifts and say they're for Jesus and give them to people in need. Guys, these are ways that we can make this thing really about Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all want to make this Christmas about Christ? Let's do it together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Anna. Thank you. Okay. Well, we, during this time, I'm going to ask Sister Anna to go ahead and get ready. And we are going to perform a baptism in here this morning. Amen. Are you ready right now? Praise God. Just come on up here and we'll come over there. Guys, this is an awesome time. Anna has decided that she wants to obey the Lord in water baptism. In water baptism. water baptism is a very important step of obedience that we take with our Lord. It is an outward sign of a confession that we've made and an inward reality of a transformation. And Robert, if you could help me, you want to go ahead and come around here this side. I'll help you. Thank you, Lord. It's a sign that we are identifying with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and we're testifying to the world that we belong to Christ. Anna, I've spoke with you about this, and we're just so happy as a church family to be here with you during this time when this where you are doing this for the Lord. And I just want to ask you, maybe you just want to share with the congregation why you want to be baptized. I'll hold it for you.
Well, first and foremost, I am grateful because God has given me this day to open up my eyes and praise his name. This is something that I feel that I should have done a long time ago when I had first accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. But unfortunately, my, I don't know how to say it, my rebeldía, my rebelness came in, and I wanted to do what I felt was my freedom, and I was in the wrong, and you know, my Father in heaven, he let me go through all this pain, so many things in my life that, you know, eventually became a lesson in my life, and I found hope, you know, seeing my brother's testimony and the way he was living, and I was like, wow, if, you know, Father, if you could do that for him, you could do that for me. And I found grace. I found his grace, and oh man, he just filled my heart with all that love that I needed. And I'm very happy right now. I feel like this is my birthday. and you know, it's just, this is something that I have longed for since I've been here. And you know, I rekindled that love with him, and he saved me again, you know, and when I went to Hope on the Streets, and for me, I was like, wow, you know, thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you, and I couldn't wait any longer. I was like, it's time, I have to do this. So I am here now, and in front of you, you know, and yeah, thank you.
Praise God. Jesus said all authority had been given to him and to go and baptize, so I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Yes. Okay.
Have you received this morning? David's going to give the closing blessing, but before he does that, can you just have a seat just for a second? I'm sorry. It's all right. We're getting excited here. You know, wonderful message, Brother David, about keeping Christ and Christmas. But we also want to keep Christ and Christian. Amen. And as a believer, we want to bless those who are behind bars, incarcerated, and we call it Hope at Christmas, December the 19th, 7 o'clock. You're all invited to come join the ministry here where we bless the children whose mom or dad may be incarcerated, either in the county jail. But what we do, we ask them to come to our fellowship here, and we bless them, and we have a party, a Christmas party, and we have various things going on. There's food that's given, there are toys that are given, there are devotions, illustrations, and when they leave here, they know that Jesus is here. They receive it, and I've asked my dear friend here, David, to come and join us at that celebration for Hope at Christmas. And we're going to take up an offering in just a minute, brothers. You can come on up front if you want to. And he did it every week when he can. He comes to Children's Church and does a illustration, a devotion. And so it was so good this morning. I said, David, hold on to that. I want to do it for the adults as well. So this will be a little taste of what you'll receive. And then we're going to give you a chance to participate in the giving for this celebration, December 19th, Hope at Christmas. And then Brother David will give the final benediction. David?
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's just one of the things we're going to be doing at the Hope at Christmas. Lots more to come, and we invite you to come.
Limited by lack of imagination, time, and skill.
You got to come see it. Okay, but we want to give you a chance real quick to become part of this outreach. It's 2 weeks from yesterday, and we will have slips that have their name of the family and the children and the children's ages on it that you can receive and go and gather the gifts and wrap them up, and we'll bring them under the tree and we'll sort them. And so it's going to be an exciting time. I believe it's a time of divine appointments. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would bless these gifts. Use it for your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the offering for Church Hope at Christmas. Is there anyone here who has never been to a Hope at Christmas? Oh, I invite you.